Is the Jefferson Exchange. It is 8:40. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. This month, Maureen is back with Flo Bonert, a former farmer in Central Point. I'll try to say that five times fast, former farmer. Flo and her husband Don ran a farm for many years north of Central Point, close to the still-working Seven Oaks Farm, and she joins me in studio with Maureen. A pleasure to have you here, Flo Bonert.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So you are related to the family that runs the Seven Oaks Farm, is that right?
Oh, yes, yes. That's my husband's cousin, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very well-known farm, right?
Yes.
By a freeway interchange. Where was yours in relation to that?
Well, basically across 99, our farm encompassed 99, Grant Road, Scenic, and down to Taylor Road.
And how long has somebody from your family or husband's family been on that land? Had they?
Since the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. All right, the turn of the 20th century we're talking. Yeah, of course, not the 18th century. Right?
Yeah, but I think Grandpa came probably in the late 1800s, found the area and liked it, but he left and went to Nebraska, but soon came back and stayed here. So I think it probably maybe like 1900.
And Grandpa Bonert would be William, right?
William, yeah, Grandpa was William.
And did the family property go all the way down to the May Richardson School? That whole strip?
Close to it. I wouldn't say it abutted it, but it was close.
Wow, that's
that was a big
piece
chunk
of property.
Farm then, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. And the of course, we owned only a small part of it. The other siblings owned it. His aunt owned the land next to us, and then his uncle owned the other land. And then, the other siblings owned land, like, Seven Oaks, and then also across the freeway, just right across the freeway.
I'm guessing because of that particular flat stretch of land along Bear Creek that's probably some really good bottom land.
It was excellent farmland.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. It could grow anything.
So what did you grow there?
Oh, my gosh. Evidently, my father-in-law, Arnold, started out with the sugar beet seed. That was probably the first ones in the valley to grow sugar beet seeds. And that was one of their major crops for a long, long time. But Don went into lawn grass seed. And that was our major crop, that and the sugar beet seed. But then we raised vegetables, but everything for seed, vegetable seed, flowers for seed, and it was all furrow irrigated,
mm-hmm.
And they just sort of specialized in long grass.
So the crops weren't sold as the crops, but for the seed that they
no it grew. No it was sold under contract for seed only. Mm-hmm.
And who would the contracts be with? I mean, who would buy the seeds or agree to buy the seeds in advance?
Yeah, well, like Ferry Morris, O.M. Scott, Northrop & King.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking the real commercial operations.
Yes, absolutely.
The little packets of seeds would have your stuff from your farm.
Yeah, it would be our seeds. Of course, our name wouldn't be on the packet, but it would be our seeds. And after the harvest, then the seeds would go to Grants Pass, Josephine Growers Co-op would clean the seeds, and then they'd be shipped to whoever.
That was a big operation in the valley. I mean, lots and lots of people grew seed.
Yes.
At
that time.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Not a new thing here for
right,
the valley.
Right, right. And at the beginning, they, would have a combine, to harvest, but then they actually get sacks to put the seed in, and sow the sacks, and that was one of the first things my son, after we got married, my son was around six, and he was a sack sower.
Oh, was he? You were doing the motion across,
mm-hmm.
That's great, so he knew how to sew up a sack pretty fast.
Yes, yes. So, and then they take the sacks and put them on trucks and take them over to Grants Pass, and then we got a fancy combine that We'd put the seed then in huge boxes, we got like 6 foot tall and wide, and we just put the seeds in that and then take the boxes to Grants Pass.
So the trucks got better.
The
at
trucks
that time.
Got better, yeah. Yeah. The trucks which, got fancier and bigger.
Which meant the end of the sewing skills for your son.
Yes, yes. So
that's interesting. I've seen pictures of those sacks in the fields, and I didn't realize what that was. So
yes,
thank
right.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's right. It was all put in sacks.
Were those skills transferable? Did your son get to like fix pairs of pants and things like that when he put the seed out?
It was. I'm sorry. It put the.
Were you, did your son get to sew other things? Did he fix pairs of pants and stuff?
No, no. He had his sewing sacks needle, which he still has, and that's all he did. That's all he sewed was the seed sacks.
Mm-hmm. So over the years, it sounds like you got to watch as the city of Central Point encroached upon your farm.
Very, very much. In fact, I can still remember, this is pretty close to when we had to finally give up, but there were so many people moving in, abutting our farm. And, of course, you know, the grass seed, the lawn, the grass was beautiful. You know, and it would just be a whole beautiful acres and acres of tall lawn, it looked like. And I went out one day and looked around, and here was a family with their kids playing in our field. I thought, uh-oh.
They thought it was a park.
They thought it was a park. And so that didn't set too well with us. I thought, you don't send your kids over to a farm and let them play in their fields.
Did people start complaining about the tractors and
noise
of farms?
Oh, my goodness, yes. That was what that was.
The right to farm is a law?
Yeah, but they didn't like it when we ran equipment after like 6 o'clock at night that interfered with our television programs or whatever. And then finally we got complaints about running the combines and our equipment on Sundays. Because we had to get the crop in, or else maybe a storm was coming or something. We had to, you know, work late at night and on holidays and Sundays. And we got a lot of complaints because, we made too much noise and dust on Sunday.
Flo Bonert is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon, curated by Maureen Flanagan Battistella, who's in the studio as well. Maybe you have been aware of the Bonert family farm and its history, which is now past history. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So had you talked at some point with your kids about succession, about them taking over the farm?
Yes. I think every parent hopes their children would take over whatever they're doing. But we understood the children not wanting to take over the farm because basically we realized even years before we had to sell it, we were being encroached by civilization. And, of course, we had Highway 99. We were just locked in. And just like we knew that Don had rent land all over the valley in order to make ends meet, we knew this wasn't up. We knew the kids wouldn't want to take over it. So, but they all worked on the farm. They were great workers. They did a good job. They were wonderful. But it was just something that, maybe if we were in the middle of the United States or something with, acres and acres of land and no people, that would have been it. But we knew it was coming to an end.
Did you pick a date in advance, or was there something that precipitated your decision to go ahead and sell?
No, we didn't pick a date. It just
it picked you.
Yeah. let's face it, the Bonerts were getting old. so we knew that we couldn't farm there very much longer. One of the parcels of land was sold, but the whole acres, maybe the 200 acres, but we were all under one irrigation system. So if one parcel was sold and the irrigation system was cut up, we were left high and dry. So, we knew that that was a reason that we couldn't just farm by ourselves on our private little farm. But we saw it coming. Our kids, all our kids grew up and usually moved away. And
that land had always been within the urban growth boundary
mm-hmm.
for the city
yes.
of Central Point. So you kind of knew that it might happen
yes.
at one
yeah.
point.
Yeah, we knew it was coming. And I think when the freeway came in, that was...
You had a story about the freeway that was pretty interesting, Flo.
Yeah, when the freeway first came in, my father-in-law, Arnold Bonert, who I unfortunately never met, but he was an absolutely wonderful person.
He died by the time you met Don?
Yeah, he died a year before Don and I got married.
Oh, wow.
Died young.
Of 65, he died. But anyway, the freeway was coming in, and so Don and his dad went down to protest because they were going through some of the best farmland in the valley, which also included land they both leased, and they were farming at that moment. But they tried to argue that this is taking a lot of the good farmland, and it would be so much more feasible to run it on the east side.
On the shoulders of Roxy Ann.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. They call it the foothills, but anyway, they thought it would make more sense, and that land was not good for farming, just to run the freeway there. But, of course, what my husband told me was that it was too financially impressive for a lot of people to run it right through Medford. So they lost a lot of the land that they were renting. And, of course, it just grieves me that underneath that concrete is some of the best fertile land in the valley.
That great black soil, that great
beautiful,
Bear Creek
yes.
bottom land. Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Beautiful soil. And it's there, and it's not being farmed, and it's not producing food for the nation. It really grieves me.
There's a sign sort of by your old house that says, topsoil for sale.
Oh.
I crave that topsoil, and I want that topsoil for my yard.
I know that was something that grieved me, was that they took our topsoil and sold it.
We're trying to deal with a ringing telephone somewhere in the room. We'll get to that. So how do you feel when you see the fact that it seems like there are fewer farms over time? But of course, there are more people who need the things that come from farms.
Well, this is it. We have the valley is growing so rapidly. We have all these people coming in, and I look at all these houses being built, apartments being built. I thought, what are they going to eat? Our farmland is basically gone. There's just little patches along the valley. And I know that there's small farms, and I'm proud of those people who have small farms. And I'm wishing that we could have more of them because we need to eat our food, not imported from the whole world.
So it gives you some hope then that there are people who are interested in farming.
Oh, absolutely,
now, yeah.
And I'm really proud of them, and I know how hard it is for them, and I know they're working against a lot of public opinion and everything. But please, if you have a piece of land, farm it, raise food. I have this image that one of these days we're going to wake up, and the whole Rogue Valley is going to be under concrete, under asphalt. And where's our food? Where's our beautiful food? The joy that I will always remember, and I'm hoping my children do, going out to our vegetable garden and picking fresh corn. And nothing's better than having a big pot of hot water boiling on the stove, sending your kids out to the corn patch and letting them husk it out there and running back in, and we pop it in the...
That's what I feel about Seven Oaks Farm corn.
Yes. Yeah,
I crave that corn.
There's nothing better.
I just wait.
You can't. That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is food that went straight from the corn stalk to the pot.
Right. Right. So, it's just things like that. Besides, I'm thinking of the children. There's a whole generation of children growing up without knowing how corn grows on a stalk or tomatoes grow on a bush. Or you pull up a radish and eat it.
You know, FFA and 4-H are still pretty active.
I certainly hope so. That's one thing my husband
We've
and I
got
are
lots
really
and lots of kids
proud of
programs.
The FFA. We just want them to keep going. We want 4-H to keep going. Our children were in both 4-H and FFA. And even in the old days, I was in 4-H and I raised chickens.
So how long since you moved off the farm and moved into town?
It was...
They didn't move off the farm. The farm, they're still in the same place.
The farm got subdivided and you stayed
yes,
there.
Yes, that's right. We're still on the farm. But it was about, I don't know, 50...
About 99, right?
Yeah, it was about 99.
Okay, it's about 20 years
19,
now.
Yeah. And but we're really happy that we're back on the same... At least we're on the same property. Mm-hmm. And Don, bless his heart, hasn't really... left home. Mm-hmm. He went to Oregon State. Mm-hmm. Then he went to the service. Otherwise, he's been home on the same property. His whole life.
Was he born on the property?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he was.
There's this big tree that was planted at the homestead when Don was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that tree is still there.
That tree is still there. It's a beautiful redwood tree. Don... At age 12, and his father went over across 99 to where they were given this beautiful redwood tree, and they brought it back to the farm, and they planted it. It's still there. Our kids played under it, and we love it. It's beautiful, and my deepest hope is that it will stay.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for the redwood tree. Can you see it from 99?
Yes.
All right. That's the redwood tree in North Central Point, getting close to Seven Oaks Farm.
Yes.
Which is another branch of the Bonert family.
Yes, wonderful. They're doing an excellent job.
What? We'll talk to them at some point, too, I'm sure.
Good.
Thanks for visiting with us, Flo
Bonert.
Well,
thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. Flo Bonert and her husband, Don, for many years ran a farm on the other side of 99 from Seven Oaks Farm in North Central Point. She's our guest in this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon, curated, collected by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive. Maureen, thanks so much for bringing Flo to us.
Thank you.